how much it costs to see my sin upon the cross. You know, if all Jesus did was die to get you into heaven, then you would have been raptured as soon as you got saved. Right? But you weren't. Why? Because you have a purpose to fulfill here on the earth. You have a destiny to fulfill on the earth. It is the job of Pastor Sam, Pastor Mike, the pastoral team here, to equip you guys to fulfill that destiny here in Sheboygan. What does this have to do with the healing service? What do you think the work of the ministry is? So often we've had this paradigm of I need healing, so I got to wait for the guy with the gift of healing to come in and have a special service so that I could get healed. That's not what Pastor Mike's vision was for this service. Pastor Mike's vision for this service is to begin something that when I leave, there's something that's happening here, and people are going to be healed regularly in this place. Not only in this place, but in that place. I want to tell you a testimony about how I got into healing ministry. I just need to grab some water here because my throat's a little dry. Pardon me. If you're okay, say amen. Amen. If you're not, be quiet. So, when I was 15 years old, as I mentioned, I grew up in this church, and I had a wonderful godly heritage in my family, on both sides of my family. I'm a third-generation preacher, and God has blessed me with just a rich, rich heritage, and those of you who know my grandparents know that that is abundantly true. But it is easy to grow up among the things of God and become inoculated to its power. Isn't that true? Familiarity with the things of God is dangerous. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I want to ask you a question. I'll just put this under your hat until we get there. Why do you think when Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth, he was unable to do many great miracles? It was because of familiarity. They said, "Isn't this Joseph's son? Don't we know this guy?" Anyway, so I had become like that. I'd become like somebody from Nazareth in unbelief. If you were to ask me if I was a Christian, I'd say, "Hallelujah, brother, yes I am." You know, I knew I could talk the lingo. I knew the Bible verses. I saw Ann Martin a little while ago. Some of you know who she was. She was my Sunday school teacher for a little while. And she told me, "John Mark, I was intimidated to teach Sunday school when you were there because I was afraid you were going to correct me on something." And so I knew the word, you know, and it's a wonderful blessing, and it's a wonderful heritage to know the word of God, but there's a danger there because you can become over familiar and you can become inoculated to the power of the gospel. When I was 15 years old, though, I went to teen camp. It was junior-senior camp at Lost Valley. The very first chapel service, I walk into the back doors and the power of God falls on me. I'm 15 years old and I'm a guy. You guys can figure out what was on my brain. I go into this chapel and, you know, after they had the chapel service, everybody would go to the snack shack. Gary knows what I'm talking about. And we'd have some awesome Gary burgers. And so we would go over there, and I walked in there, and I'm just kind of scoping out, all right, who am I going to talk to at Snack Shack? You know, like, who's the best-looking girls, you know? So that was what is on my brain. But as I walk into the presence of God, you see, there were people that were praying and that were fasting for me. When I walked into those back doors, the power of God fell on me, and I began weeping uncontrollably. And I did not know why I was crying. You see, I had been dealing with controlling fear that ruled my life. Now, I won't go into too many details, but it was an anxiety thing, and I would have constant anxiety attacks. And it was all rooted in a lie that I was believing, that God did not really love me, that he was not going to truly forgive my sins. And there was times when I was 13 years old that I had convinced myself, or rather the devil had convinced me, that I was going to hell and there was nothing I could do about it at all. I sat on the steps of my parents' house just shaking in terror. And when I walked into those back doors of that chapel, the love of God overwhelmed me. It felt like just a weight of God's love just fell on me, and I was weeping. And I was so embarrassed because I was wanting to look cool, you know? And I couldn't stop crying. And I just went to the very back of that chapel, and I buried my face in the carpet. And I told the Lord, God, if you're truly this good, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And he truly is that good. And I've served him ever since. So, fast forward till I'm 17, and I have fallen head over heels in love with Jesus. And my youth pastor began to disciple me and mentor me in the things of God, taught me how to worship the Lord and how to have a prayer life and how to study my Bible. And I began to have a burning passion for souls. And I worked at a grocery store. And what I did at this grocery store, this is when I was living in Newberry, Michigan. And they have two grocery stores in Newberry. Both of them have bag boys that will also carry out your groceries to your car, because we're nice in Newberry. And and so that was my job. I would bag people's groceries, I'd load them up on a cart, and I'd take them out. And I began to have a burden for the souls of the people for whom I was carrying groceries. So as I am as I'm carrying out these groceries, I thought, man, if I have an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody and I don't do it, I am sending that person to hell because of my disobedience. I was not okay with that. So I began to, misguidedly, I had a lot of zeal and little knowledge, and I began to argue with people, you know, about whether God existed and yada, yada, yada. Needless to say, it wasn't working so well. But I began to hear testimonies about people who would pray for people, would see them healed, and then would share the gospel and they would get saved. And I thought, well, that's a mighty fine idea. It sounds a little bit like what they did in the Bible. You know, I began to read the Bible. I began to think about it, and I said, you know what? That was the only way Jesus preached the gospel. There was no other way. He didn't hand out tracts, and he didn't go with fake surveys. He just healed the sick, and he preached the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And guess what? It was pretty effective. So I began to say, well, the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, actually, let's go there. Mark 16, some people say, well, Mark 16 is, you know, extra, it's not supposed to be in the canon, that it's not in the most oldest and most reliable manuscripts, but it's in there. So, and the rest of Scripture backs it up. So let's go to Mark 16. My Bible is loading. Mark 16. And so we'll start in verse 9. Let's start in verse 14. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Yikes. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who," what? Believe. Raise your hand if you believe. This is talking about you. These signs will accompany you guys. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on people who are ill, and they will get well. So I thought, that's talking about me. The Bible says I can do this. I had not been born, you know, and there was like angels who appeared and said, this young man will have a healing ministry, you know. I just read the Bible and I believed it. And I thought, if this is either true or it isn't true. So I began to pray for everybody that I could, everybody at my job. And anyone who had a limp, anybody who had a neck brace, a cane, whatever, I prayed for anybody who would let me. And I prayed for tons of people, and I didn't see a single miracle. And I began to be frustrated. And I began to pray and cry out to God and say, Lord, it says in your word that I can do this. I'm trying. What's up? I became pretty frustrated with God. Eventually, I told him, I said, Lord, if you don't start healing people, then I quit. I'm not going to pray for anybody. A week after, I had told that to the Lord. And I've prayed for probably over 100 people in public, at work, unbelievers, right? A week after I said that to the Lord, a lady stopped me in the grocery store when I went to get my check, and she said, hey, are you the young man who prayed for me? And I said, yes. And she said, well, it worked. I don't need my cane anymore. She had vertigo for 3 years, and when I prayed for her, it left. She didn't need her cane for balance. She was completely healed. She was an older lady, and she said, I told everyone in my pottery class about you. I said, well, praise God. And I began to just pursue God for healing. Why? Not because I have a healing ministry, but because I'm a believer. And because it says in the Bible that it is my responsibility to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. I wasn't going to wait. My dad was my pastor at the time. I wasn't going to wait for my dad to get all of Newberry saved. I thought he probably needs some help. And so there were a lot of people who came to Christ because I prayed for them at the grocery store. I eventually had people that started coming to the grocery store to find me to have me pray for them. One guy came up to me and said, hey, are you the praying bag boy? And I said, yep. And he said, my knee hurts. I prayed for his knee and he got healed. The Lord didn't stop there. I could tell you some, I will tell you some amazing testimonies about what God has done. But I want to tell you two things. One, you can do this. You can lay hands on the sick. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you because He has anointed you to preach the good news. You don't have to wait for me. In fact, you have permission to be healed even while I'm preaching. Why? Because it's not me. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And we have access to that anointing through faith in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Anyway, where was I going with that? I want you to know, and this is a theme that I will hit over and over and over and over again. You do not have to be a special so-and-so for God to use you powerfully. You don't have to ever preach or pastor a church for God to use you to change people's lives. For God to use you to bring healing. Okay, I want to share some testimonies with you. So just this past week, Kara and I went down to Springfield, Missouri. We were there for a training thing, and we were there for a week, and we stayed at this one hotel. And while we were there, five members of the hotel staff got healed. And some of them were the maids, and one cleaned our room and left us a note and said, "Thank you so much for praying for me. I woke up without any pain this morning." And it was just incredible. This one lady, her name was Mary. I was walking past her, and the Lord put her on my heart, and I asked if I could pray for her, and she said, "Yeah, you could pray for me." And I asked if she had any problems in her back, you know, and she's like, "Well, yeah, and I have a problem in my shoulder." And she had been abused by someone that she had been in a relationship with years ago, and he used to beat her. And he used to grab her in her shoulder in this one place, and so that he could get the upper hand. And it caused permanent nerve damage in that shoulder. And she said, "I'm caught between a rock and a hard place because I have to work. I have pain meds that I can take for this, but they're narcotics. If I take them, I can't work. So I either work through pain, or I'm pain-free and poor." And so I said, "Jesus can help you with that." And I said, "Can I pray for you?" She's like, "Yeah, but I don't want to get in trouble. Can we go into your room?" So I was like, "Yeah." So Kara and I took her into our hotel room, and we began to pray for her, and she begins to weep. And we finished praying, I said, "Move your shoulder." She does this. She's like, "All the pain is gone." She was in pain for years and years, and God healed her. Not only did he heal her shoulder, but he healed her back, her hip, her knee. She had migraines. She was completely healed. I saw her the next day. I said, "Mary, how are you feeling?" She's like, "I feel great." Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Kara, while we were down there, she got sick. Prayed for her. Guess what? She didn't get healed. It was a bummer. It was kind of a bummer. But when I went to, I had to go to Walmart to pick up some stuff for her because she was sick. And it was across the street from our hotel. So I walk over there and pick up some stuff. As I'm walking back, I see this young lady. She has something wrapped around her wrist. I said, "Hey, what happened to your wrist?" She's like, "Well, I got into it with a friend." And she said, "Actually, it was my boyfriend." And I said, "Well, that's not good." I said, "Could I pray for you?" And she said, "I don't know." I said, "It'll take like 5 seconds." And she's like, "Okay, fine." So I put my hand on her wrist, and I said a quick prayer. I just said, "In the name of Jesus, I command the pain to go, and I pray, Father, that you would show her how much you really love her." After I prayed that prayer, I said, "Now move your wrist, and don't be nice to me. Don't tell me what I want to hear or what you think I want to hear. I want you to just tell me exactly how you feel." She starts moving her wrist, And she goes, "Holy expletive!" And she looks at her sister who's standing right there. She's like, "I'm not even playing. Like, oh my God." And she takes off the wrap and she is freaking out. And I turned to her sister and I said, "You've been depressed for 7 years and you have chronic back issues." She's like, "Well, I don't know about the back issues, but I have been depressed for 7 years." And she's like, "And my shoulder hurts really bad." I prayed for her. Her shoulder gets totally healed. I said, "Do you know Jesus?" She's like, "Yeah, I know Jesus." I was like, "Do you really know Jesus?" And she's like, "Well, honestly, I've been struggling with my faith for a while." I said, "This is your sign." And she gets into her car, and the young lady whose wrist was healed is sitting in the driver's seat weeping as tears streaming down her face because God gave her a sign that he loves her and healed her of an injury to her wrist, probably because she punched that guy in the head. Jesus loves us. There was another guy, this is just two Sundays ago. I was in a church down in Springfield, and I said, "There's somebody here, you either have cancer or you have some life-threatening condition, some life-threatening disease. God wants to heal you." This young man comes to me. He says, he's about 23. He says, "I have systemic lupus." And apparently, he told me that people with systemic lupus usually die in their 30s. He said, "I have been in chronic pain since I was 8 years old. It's never left. It's never gone away." And I said, "Well, Jesus can help you." And me and another missionary friend began to pray for him. We prayed for a little while, and I asked him to tell me how he's feeling. He said, "I feel like the pain is beginning to lift." And so I said, "Oh, good, let's keep praying." And we began to pray even more. And then after a little while, I said, "How are you feeling?" He says, "It's gone. It's totally gone." In pain, since he was 8, he's about 23. Isn't that amazing? Isn't Jesus wonderful? Isn't he awesome? I want to tell you that you can do this. I'm a campus missionary at Lake Superior State University up in Sault Ste. Marie. And we were at a conference. I lead a ministry called Chi Alpha. And we were at a Chi Alpha conference, and one of our students got saved at this conference. Right after she gives her heart to Jesus, we see this woman in a wheelchair wheel by. And I stop her and I ask what was wrong. She said, "Well, I was born with this chronic foot deal. I had corrective surgery when I was young, but it left my feet in just incredible amounts of pain." She said, "I can walk a little bit, but if I'm on my feet for too long, it just hurts. I'm just excruciating pain." And over the course of the conference, it had just become too much for her, and she needed a wheelchair to get around. And I said, "Okay, can we pray for you?" And she said, "Yes." So we began to pray, and she started to feel heat on her feet, but the pain was still there. And so I had Bree, the young lady who had gotten saved just 5 minutes ago, I said, "You pray for her feet." Bree put her hand, not even on her feet, put her hand on her knee. And I just told her what to say. I said, "In the name of Jesus, pain, leave." And Bree said, "Pain, leave in the name of Jesus." And I told the young lady to stand up and walk. And she stands up and she said, "It's gone. Like, all the pain is gone out of my feet." I got an email a week later. She said, "The pain still hasn't come back." I got an email just last week. This was in January. I got an email just last week from a friend who found out she started to work with this lady at Meyer down in Kalamazoo. And she asked her, "Hey, what about your feet?" She said, "It still has not come back. The pain is gone." She was born with a chronic foot thing, whatever. I don't know what it was, but she had surgery, lots of pain. Jesus healed her. Why? Because of me? No, because of a young lady who had just gotten saved 5 minutes ago. God can use you. God can use you. The reason why he doesn't sometimes is because of overfamiliarity. This is my last point that I just want to bring up before we pray for the sick. But I just want to caution you. Sometimes we don't receive healing when somebody prays for us. And we do receive healing when an anointed so-and-so comes in from out of town. Not because that person is not anointed who prayed for you before, but because Jesus said, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. What is the reward of a prophet? The reward of a prophet is the ministry of a prophet. Is this going over your heads? A little bit? Okay. Let's say if Benny Hinn were to come in here, hold a healing meeting, there'd be a lot of people that were really excited. There'd probably be a lot of people that would not be excited. But there would be a lot of people who would get healed. Do you think it's because Benny Hinn is special? Or do you think it's because we honored the anointing that was on Benny Hinn when he came in? I want to tell you that there are people in this room that have been anointed by the Holy Ghost. And the reason we don't see the results often when they pray, when you pray for somebody who's familiar with you, it's often because we don't honor the gift of the Holy Spirit on one another. When we receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, we receive a prophet's reward. But when we receive a prophet who might be among us in the name of a good brother, we receive a good brother's reward. Does that make sense? We don't receive their ministry as they've been anointed. We just receive, I just love you, sister so-and-so. You're just an awesome woman of God. You know, thanks for praying for me. But if sister so-and-so were to go to a church where she's not well-known, there would probably be more miracles. Why? Because of the lack of familiarity. Because sometimes when we're not familiar with somebody, we tend to honor them more. There's that old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. And I don't think that necessarily we have contempt for one another, but I think that we lose respect and honor for what's on somebody's life when we know them as, you know, Joe so-and-so, and I know what you did, you know, last week, you know. We need to honor each other. And if we discern, the Bible says that many are weak and sick among you, and it's talking in the context of communion. Why? Because they took communion not discerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Guess what? You are the body of Christ. Everyone who came in contact with Christ's body, they just touched the hem of his garment and they were healed instantly. Guess what? You are his body. And you have been anointed of God. You have been equipped for the work of the ministry. And we're going to pray for each other. Are you guys excited? Some of you here are in need of healing. And I'm going to pray for a few folks, but this might be a little bit different. I want, you know, Gary and Kay, could you guys come up? We're just going to enter into a time of healing. Sometimes, you know, it's good to have somebody to come in from out of town and shake you guys up just a little bit, and then, you know, Pastor Sam, Pastor Mike can deal with any heresy I taught. If you have a problem, you can take it up with them. Just throw them right under the bus there. Right? Yes. Oh, no. Yeah, we'll pray. Of course. I want to tell you, I want to tell you a story. There was a time I was talking to Pastor Norm, who pastors a church down in Gaylord. We were just having a discussion, and he was telling me about somebody in his church. And I said, hey, they're dealing with a back issue. And he's like, it's a really bad one. And he's like, I don't know. And I said, I think so. Let's pray for her. She was on her way to a prayer meeting at that time. We prayed for her. She shows up at the door, and Pastor Norm meets her at the door and says, hey, do you deal with a back issue? She said, yeah, and it was hurting me too. Up until, actually, I was on my way over here, and it doesn't hurt anymore. He's like, well, you've been prayed for. And Jesus answered our prayers. You know, healing is just Jesus answering your prayer very quickly. Sometimes we overcomplicate it, and it's just the Lord answering our prayers. Sometimes, though, we don't see it, because here's what I do. I pray for folks, and I say, test it out right now. Test it out right now. Because the Lord might have answered our prayer, and we wouldn't have known, because sometimes it's our unbelief that we don't want to test it out, right? So, if you're in need of healing, I feel like there were some people, you know, when I said there's some people that are in this room, I felt maybe it's for second service, but I don't think so. I think there's somebody that's here today, and you deal with a chronic issue. I don't know if it's a colon issue, and it's like right up in here. It's like inflamed or something like that. And God wants to heal you of that if you're here. You don't have to stand up and say, you know, I've got the colon issue. But you can come up for prayer. Pastor Trish, would you come forward? And I just want to do it this way. Who has bone on bone in their knee? A few people. Would you stand up? Now, those that are around, those who are standing, go ahead and put a hand on the shoulder of somebody. We're gonna do this family style. We're just gonna pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, as you pray, I just want to give you some instruction. You don't have to pray really long. You don't have to pray super spiritually. All you have to do is say, in the name of Jesus, I command the pain to go. And you just, you know, we pray in the name of Jesus. Why do we say that? It's not because in the name of Jesus is like the signal to everybody that we're done praying, you know. In the name of Jesus is we're praying as though Jesus himself were praying this prayer. We are praying in his name. That means in his authority, in the authority of Jesus. So I want you to pray as though Jesus himself were praying your prayer. Jesus' prayers always get answered. In the name of Jesus, I command this knee to be healed, and I speak to the cartilage to be restored. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Lord. Eileen, go ahead and move your knee and tell me how it feels. Good. Go ahead and walk a little bit. Tell us how it feels. Really good? 100%, or is there still some stuff there?
Well, my hip, but that's because my knee
hurts. Oh, okay. And your hip still hurts? So we're going to pray for your hip. Anybody else feel something happen as we prayed? You felt the change. Go ahead and move it around and tell us.
Just popped.
Was there any pain before?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, is there pain now?
No.
No pain now. Praise God.
Amen.
How about over here?
No,
how about
I'm
you,
still
Julie?
There.
Still there?
Both knees.
Both knees?
Yeah.
So what happens if you pray for somebody and they still hurt? There you go. I'm glad you didn't say, oh, we just give up and say, you know, whatever. So let's pray again. While those of you that are around Julie, you continue praying for Julie. I don't want to pray for some other things. If you are dealing with chronic anxiety, the Lord is going to heal you. The Lord healed me of that. So if you're dealing with chronic anxiety, could you come over and have Pastor Gary and Kay pray for you? Chronic anxiety. And there's some people here that you're dealing. This is such a common issue. It's not even a word of knowledge. I'm just going to tackle it because it needs to be dealt with. People who are dealing with sciatica. You've got just pain through your hip because of problems in your back. I want you to come over. I want you to have Pastor Trish pray for you. Those of you who are dealing with sciatica. I would have the worship team come up, but I'm the worship team. So, yes.
Let me just say one thing, too. Pastor Mike has been battling in prayer this morning intensely, and he says, if at all possible, you should come back for the second service because what you're seeing here now is going to be multiplied.
Yeah. Pastor Mike has been in some real warfare. I want to pray for people who's dealing with some lung issues. You have a hard time breathing. It might be emphysema. It might be COPD. It might be something of that nature. I want to pray for you. It might be asthma, chronic asthma, whatever you're dealing with. I want you to come forward. Awesome. Thank you. What's your name?
Don. I've prayed for you before, haven't I?
I don't know.
Okay.
I know you know my family.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to pray for you.